Okay. Do I have some green lights up there? Good deal. Which means I'm okay to go ahead. All right, so like I said, we've been going over the character of Solomon. We're not quite done yet, but I think I'll be done this week because we've kind of shown the character of Solomon. And a lot of people, like I said, run down people in the Bible. We got Hebrews chapter 11, which is the Hall of Fame of Faith. Okay, and people start running down the people there that we have maybe bad reports about. Abraham being one, you know. Yeah, okay, he was a little non-thinking when he went to Egypt and he said, well, you know, Sarah, you're a beautiful girl, woman. They might think, they might kill me just so, you know, you go. And she must have been a good looker. I don't know. I mean, it's like, wow. But they took her anyway. They just didn't kill him. Okay. But God took care of it, didn't he? Told Pharaoh at night in a dream, hey, you need to give him back his wife. And then when he come back to Abraham, he said, Abraham, dude, I came and I welcomed you. We have you here in the house. And you lied to me. And I almost committed a sin and died because of you, dude. And because of that, yeah, okay, I put a modern spin on the words and everything because, you know, a lot of people don't, when they tell a story in the Bible, all they do is just read the words. They don't tell the story, okay? They read the words. But, so, and you figure Abraham would learn this lesson, but he did it one more time. And it's like, you know, I have heard preachers put him down. No, he was just dumb, okay? He had his moment. Don't we have our moments? Okay. Well, we got to ask ourselves that because a lot of times we have a tendency to forgive ourselves and yet are very harsh with others. Okay. David and this thing with Bathsheba. Oh, by the way, Abraham was still known as the friend of God. Okay. Nobody else in the Bible has that testimony. Okay. He was the friend of God. God came down and told him, about Sodom and Gomorrah. Look, I'm going to go and destroy these people. Okay? Because their sin cries up into the very heaven that it needs to be judged. And then Abraham said to himself, you know, and during that discourse, I'm thinking, he saw three guys there. Two left and one was there. I think he saw God. A lot of people say that was a pre-incarnation of Jesus. I don't know. I'm thinking he's probably the only one in the flesh that ever saw God, besides Moses. Moses saw the backside of God. Okay? And that's just my thinking. Okay? You can think what you want. The Bible doesn't tell us, but he's talking face to face with somebody. And Abraham says within himself, you know, man, should I be so bold? And God, if there's 50 people, would you destroy? If there's 50 righteous people in an entire town, you know, of a couple of thousand people, if there's 50, would you destroy it? No, I won't destroy it. Ah, okay. How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? If 10 people there are righteous, would you destroy it? No, I won't destroy it. For their sake, and because you asked me, I won't destroy it. Who has that kind of pull with God? You know, yeah, preachers and people can run him down all you want, but who has that kind of pull with God? Where God says, you know, well, I'll listen to you, Abraham, but I know there's not 10 people there. Of all, there's probably only one, Lot. And it's like, wow. So, and like I said, the same thing with David. You know, he did that thing with Bathsheba, and he was still known as a man after God's own heart, except for that thing with Bathsheba. That scripture. Like I said, we run these people down. We to make ourselves look better. We forgive ourselves, like I said, and we put others to the harsh. We're harsh taskmasters. Remember the story in the New Testament. Jesus was telling about the man who was forgiven a lot because he whined and complained. Lord, Master, I mean, because the Master came up and said, today you're going to give an account for all you're doing because he was a steward. He was supposed to take care of somebody else's stuff. Okay? And the guy pleaded with the master, no, don't kill me, don't throw me in the jailhouse, I'll repay. So the master said, okay, I'll forgive you. And what's the first thing he does? He goes out to somebody else who owes him very little, grabbed him up and said, you owe me, pay. That's the way we are, isn't it? I know you only owe me a little, but you pay. And the guy said, oh, I can't. He said the same thing, the same way. I can't. Please forgive me, you know. Be easy on me. Have mercy. Now I'm going to throw you in jail. And the master heard and said, dude, you should have forgiven him. You should have had the same forgiving heart. Okay? Because you were found in the same condition. Okay? We oftentimes, like I said, don't want to find ourselves in the same condition as that. We come to Solomon, and Solomon had 700-800 women that he considered, you know, that he listened to, and they turned his heart against God, away from God. So we run him down for that. And yet God still kept the promise that this is going to be the wisest, this is going to be the most famous, this is going to be the most richest man that was and ever will be. Okay? I'm not going to run him down because he was not so smart. Okay? Wise, yeah, but sometimes not so smart. Okay? Listen to what they said rather than what God said in his later life. And we see here this is the same thing. In his early days, in his up to mid-age, Solomon loved God and put his stuff first. We saw that in Haggai where he says, Solomon built the house of God first. Actually, that's in the Kings Chronicles, rather. He finished the house of God first, and then his house, and then all the other stuff. Okay, he put God's stuff first. When do we ever do that? Do we put God's stuff first no matter what? You know? When people have family come visit for out of town, oh, I got to go be with my family today, so I'm going to miss church. Special things happen. Oh, I got to go, instead of being with church, I got to be with somebody else and do something else. You know, oh, instead of coming down there on that day, I'm going to be somewhere else. Okay. When we had a bigger church and we had work days, I had people come up and ask me, well, how come so-and-so's not here? How come so-and-so's not here? How come those people are? How come out of, you know, 20 people that could be here, there's only 4 or 5? And I said, I don't know. I think they have better things to do, because a couple of people said, no, that's my family day. Okay, we only have church cleaning, or church-wide cleaning. Everybody come up once a quarter, once every 3 months. And you can't spend that day with your family? Oh, no, the family, we got to go someplace else, do something else. And my thought, my thinking was always, wouldn't it be better if they were here in God's house, even if we're cleaning up? You know? Because then you could say when they ask you, why do we do these things? Well, because God is love. God loved us first. And we're just loving Him back. And we're just taking care of the things that He put on us, that He give us as good stewards. Okay? You know, we don't take care of our houses at home because we're prideful. So, well, some people do. You see their neatly manicured lawns, and you see all the stuff, all the flowers and everything they got. And people walking by go, ooh, and oh, and they just, oh, man, that's great. Decorations around Christmas time. Man, people go all out for decorations, don't they? And it's like, wow. They don't do it. Yeah, they do it for the oohs and ahs. Okay? But most of the time, we're supposed to be good stewards of what God has given us. If He's given you a house and stuff, take care of it. Make it look good. That way people say, ooh, now why do you do all this stuff? Well, because God gave it to me and I'm taking care of this because it's God's, really. It's not mine. It's God's. Okay? This is where Solomon's at, where he put God's stuff first. The house of God came first. The things of God come after that. After he built the temple, God came to him and said, look, this is going to be my house. I will make this a house of prayer. And any prayer said in this house, I am going to listen to. I will hear from heaven, I will answer. And we forget about that part. We just want to run them down. You know? What does it... I asked this question last week, but what really does it take to distract us from the things of God? To distract our attention from the things of God? You know, even at fellowship meetings, you still have some people, you know, Oh, I went to this school, I went to that school, I got this thing, I'm doing this work, I did this. It's all about me, 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 or them, them, them. Sometimes you get with some of these groups, and there's very little talk about stuff for God. You know, doing things with God. You know, Paul, his big thing was, look, all I did was plant, Apollos watered, but ultimately God gives the increase. It's not my work, it's his work. I'm just going there and doing what, I'm just going there and reaping what he already did. That's all. And yet you listen to some preachers, man, they're the all in all. I'm this, I'm that, and I can do this, and I can do that. Okay? Yeah, so Solomon was a very strong person of faith. And he built God's house. Okay? And while he was king, the people were revived. The people worshiped God. The people got rid of all their idols and everything. And when they asked for gold and stuff, people came forth and gave to the church. I mean, gave willingly. Priests and stuff had to come up and say, oh, we got enough stuff we can't store anymore. That's how it was. And so we've been looking at things of Paul, living in the Spirit. We saw that Solomon's treasure was on the things of God. Well, it's just a building. No, it's more than that. God said, I will bless this place. And when a church building is dedicated to God, God will bless this place. Okay? But a lot of people don't look at it as anything important. Well, how do you know that? Well, Book of Corinthians, when he's talking about the Lord's Supper, all y'all, you just come in here to have your own little personal party. You bring your own food, you bring your own stuff, you get drunk, you're having all this stuff. You're just a mess. Yes, I'm paraphrasing. Okay? Read the story. The words are actually worse. Okay? So when you come together, you wait for one another. And you do it rightly. The fruit of the vine, the unleavened bread. Or, he says in the middle of that, despise you the house of God. Do you consider the house of God so low that you just despise it? Okay. Your actions will speak louder than your words. You cannot say, I love God, and ignore his house. The two are incongruous, which means they're at opposite angles. They're going opposite directions from each other. Okay. Solomon, at least at this point in time, what he said, he was going the same way. He was walking that same path. The way he lived was the way he said, the way he preached. Book of Ecclesiastes is the book about the teacher. I'm the teacher. And he says, yeah, I've failed in my teaching sometimes. Book of Proverbs, I'm teaching my son. I want my son. And we all know Rehoboam, and I don't know what happened to Rehoboam in later years, but he didn't listen to the word of God. He didn't listen to his dad. He didn't listen to his grandfather, David, you know, where he says, thy word is a light unto my path. He didn't listen. How many times do we not listen? We come to church, we get all dressed, we get put a smile on our face, act our best to each other, but are we actually listening to the word that pastor preaches? It's like, oh, I don't know about that. He's not very energetic today. He's not very so-and-so. He's not, I'm just falling asleep. Okay? We can keep ourselves awake. How do I know this? When I was younger, I used to keep myself awake. Okay? Why? Because there was always something to do. When I was younger, I worked 6 days. I stayed up late. We did things. And then I got saved, and I still acted that way. It's like, you know, we got energy when we want to have energy. Okay. Disease and conditions can take some of that away. But if you let it overcome you, it will. Okay. So the house of God came first And that's one of the biggest things with Solomon is the house of God came first, because this is God's things. Remember when God asked him that question, the people of God came first. God, I can't teach your people. Who am I? Give me wisdom so I can teach rightly. God did. God said, whoa, that's a pretty good request. I'm going to bless you far and above you that you ever imagined or that anybody else did. And we see where his treasure was. And I touched on the treasure of the heart. And where out of the treasure of your heart, so you speak. Okay? People say, well, I have a hard time witnessing to other people. Well, where's your treasure? Where's your attention? Okay? You listen to some people, you know that their treasure is in hunting and fishing. Why? Because they can talk about that really readily. Some women, housekeeping and makeup tips and stuff like that, man, they talk about a bunch of stuff. And us guys, we talk about a bunch of stuff too. Guys are not immune to that. I mean, I heard guys for years, well, women, they just kind of yak. Well, I've been to plenty of fellowships and stuff like that. Those men are over there yakking like that too. You know? And it's like, come on. Let's be even-handed here. Let's be truthful. But Paul in 2 Corinthians, we were there, we just finished that. For this which cause we faint not, but inward out. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Man, that's an amazing statement still. That no matter what you're going through in this life, and we're going to be going through that stuff. Why? Because all that will live godly will suffer persecution. You don't have to wait till the tribulation. It can happen now. And here it is. Why we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. They last forever. Okay? Pastor's going through faith. Okay? Faith. Faith is forever, guys. If you have faith in stuff of this world, that's just temporary. How do we know this? Well, a couple years ago, we had gas that was under $3 a gallon. And now we have gas that's over $5 here in this area. Okay? It's like, wow, who did you trust in then? Well, I trusted in that president. And then so we got another president. It's like, you know, I don't trust this president. Well, you shouldn't be trusted in the president. Trusted in God. And he'll see you through. He'll see you through. Okay? We look at the things that are not seen. Okay? We have that testimony about Abraham and Sarah. They didn't look for a city that was already built with hands. There was no such thing. They looked for a city that whose builder, maker and builder was God. That's how they lived their life. That's how Sarah was able to go with Abraham in a tent and not say, I need a house. 4 bedrooms, 3 baths, you know, granite countertops, you know, tile on the floor. Tile because I want to sweep the floor and not have carpet and all the dirt and stuff on the carpet. I was like, wow. They were looking for something that was far beyond this place. That was more than this place. And they looked for it in the life that they had. And now I'm going to get to probably wrapping this up. When Solomon finished and did all the things that he did, it said that he had a great offerings, sacrifices. He included the people. The people were there with him, behind them. They were all one. They were in unity. Because they had an example of Solomon, and they said, whoa, if he can act that way, I can act that way. If he can believe, I can believe. Okay? That's why it's good to have good Christian examples. Okay? Not running them down all as much, you know? We have so great a cloud of witness there, he tells us, or Paul tells us in Corinthians chapter 11. That great a cloud of witness, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to follow. Okay? and be one with each other. That the church may be unified for the same work. May have the same mind of Christ. Let it dwell within you richly to serve the Father. What? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? That was when he was 11 years old or something. He was a young kid. He's got no business being off by himself, but mom and dad found him in a temple teaching the older guys, the OGs, teaching the old guys. It's like, no, don't you want me to be about my Father's business? Yeah, be about your Father's business. Matthew 12:25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divideth against itself is brought into desolation, and every city whose house are divided against itself shall not stand. Okay, he points that out because they were accusing him of being Beelzebub. They were accusing him of being the devil, and that's the only way that he could cast out the demons, is because he was part of that. He was a devil himself. And not to such an extreme, but a lot of times people come to church and they're not fully with the things of the church. Okay? They're not fully in agreement behind what pastor wants to do. They're not in full agreement with that stuff. It's like, you know, I think I can just take it or leave it. I think it's just good advice. The church is divided. And when the church is divided, it won't stand. It cannot stand. And Jesus says, look, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? Then he will then spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Right? And we're saying, man, that's harsh. Hey, I didn't say it. Jesus did. And he would have the right to say that. Because the people then were not 100% behind God. Matter of fact, what did he call them? Serpents, pits, vipers, snakes. You guys preach a good message, but your heart is not there. You are divided even in yourself because you say things that sound good. You amen all the verses at the right time. You amen all the stuff that's good, and yet your heart is not with it. Your heart is not fully behind it. And then we wonder why churches are not standing, because none of them are unified to the Word of God. We wonder why, when things happen, fellowships and stuff, a lot of people aren't there. When I first joined this church, I'm going to make this church an example. We had fellowships and stuff, and we did a tent revival with Brother Kistler, and we put up a tent out on Sullivan and Progress or something. There's a bank there now. And we said, there will be free food. Somebody got a whole bunch of fried chicken. It's like, yeah, served a meal. Because we are out there working. There was like 6-7 people that were there I didn't even know. I'd been to this church for a while. It's like, who are these people? Oh, that's Brother so-and-so. Okay, what church does he belong to? He belongs to our church. This is the first time I've seen him. It's like, oh, okay, there was a couple other people there. It's like, well, they only showed up for food. True. Some of the fellowships, I'd see some other people. I said, well, they only show up for food. They're not behind the rest of it. They just want the free meal. It's like, man, yeah, we can laugh. And it is funny. It's comical. But seriously, I mean, it's enough that really we ought to get on our knees and on our face before God and cry. Because that members of the church are not behind the church. They're not with God. And it says, such a house will not stand. Such a church will not stand. Cannot stand. because the people are at each other. They may not be vocal or anything like this, but they're just not with the program. They're not with everything else. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Unless they come to an agreement on things. Marriage, we had to agree on a bunch of stuff. You know, she was an individual when I married her. Dadgummit, she had her own thoughts. She had her own way of thinking, doing things. It's like, wow, honey, you got to change. She looked at me, no, you got to change. Well, we change, but not for each other, toward each other, but toward God. It's the only way it stands is if we're going the same direction before God. And it's like, wow. Yeah. Wow. 43 years later, yeah. That still works. We're doing something right. Okay. And we've got to come to agree that God's stuff comes first. Mark 11:17. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written that my house shall be called a house, shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. There were people there, the Sadducees and everything else. I mean, they were supposedly, you know, supposed to be the ones building up God. But when he came in, he said, look, you just made it a den of thieves. God is not in this. There's another power in there. That's the devil working in that. And that's what Jesus said about the scribes, the Pharisees and Sadducees. They will cross mountains, they will cross rivers, they will go and make a proselyte of somebody in a far distant country just to make them a twofold child of hell than they are. Well, that sounds pretty harsh. Yeah, it is. We've got to get it up in our mind here that some things are worth it. Okay? That some things must be put first. That some things are worth dying for that's not ourself. And I don't mean an actual physical death, although it may come to that. I'm talking about a spiritual death where you have sacrificed, you have put those things to death in your own heart. Okay? You have said, I will no longer go that way, and cut it out and turn your heart over to God. It's a spiritual death. Not where you're going to die and go to hell, but you have died to that spirit in your heart. The spirit of objection. The spirit of doubt. The spirit that says, no, I want things my way. I want my things my way now. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I knew a young couple. They both had good jobs. Okay? They both been at it a couple years. And they wanted to buy a house. They couldn't come up with a down payment. Well, why? Well, because, now this was years ago when big screen TVs first came out. Well, they had a big screen TV. They had sound systems. They had video game controllers. They both had their own video game controller, by the way. She would go into one room and play the video games, and he would stay in his room. So they had two setups. Don't you guys ever talk to each other? Oh, yeah, we text every now and again. Okay, wait a minute. You're only like 20 feet away from each other. Oh, we got the door closed because we play our, you know, our feedback sound so that way we can hear, you know, what's going on. And it's like, so you text each other? I don't know if they're still married these days. I lost track of them. But it's like, you know, they bought stuff. They had a huge credit card debt. Oh, multiple credit card debt. Buying the stuff that they wanted now instead of saving it. Saving up for it and paying for it when you got the money. When you have the extra money, by the way. Not, oh, I got $100. I got to spend it. No, I mean, come on. $100 doesn't go away far anymore. I remember when we were first married. 100 bucks went a long way. But it was still, the money that they get is gone on stuff, on things. She didn't cook. Neither did he. They all went out to dinner. You do that these days, McDonald's costs you 30 bucks for two people. Getting cheap stuff. So you don't shop at McDonald's. You go Jack in the Box. Jack in the Box is cheaper. Two tacos are $1.75 when they used to be 99 cents, but still, that's cheap. But still, it's the same thing. You got to be together. And God's house has got to come first. Like Solomon. Solomon could have said, hey, I'm all that in a bag of chips. I am the one. God has blessed me, and you guys are blessed because of me. He never thought that way. It's all God first. Come on, people. Let's go. He was the one in his day. Let's go to the house of the Lord. Let us go sacrifice the sacrifices of love. Let us go and sing the songs. Let us go and hear the preaching of the Word of God on the pulpit. Let's go, people. Yeah, let's go. They were with him at this time. My house, God says, it's a house of prayer. And he says there, all the nations have called it a house of prayer. All the nations round about knew that that was the place where God lived. All the people said, hey, this is God's house right here, because they make it so, and you see God working in there. And the children of Israel said, it's just a building. You made it a den of thieves. What is this house of God in our own mind to us? How do we view coming together here? How do we view listening to the Word of God? You know, I've said for years in prayers, help us to incorporate your Word, this message, into my life. No. Because now you're just doing things that are rote. You know? You start mentioning stuff in the Bible and people want to make a mathematical equation out of it. A squared plus B squared equals C squared. If I do A, B, C, and D, I have this result. No, it won't, because your heart is not there. The love for God is not in us. And you know, that's the magic of the Bible. Magic is probably, you know, the wrong word, but that's the secret. When we love the Word of God, it comes alive. Old Testament and New Testament. When we love the Word of God purely and richly in our heart, all these things are good. The Bible says, and His commandments are not grievous. Why? Because we love God. You've made it a den of thieves. You've made it something less than it ought to be. In 1 Timothy, Paul says, these things I write unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. I'm writing these things not for my encouragement, not to help me, although it does. I don't know about you, but when I study this stuff, it's like, man, that's a big help. I learned stuff I didn't learn before. Should be that way, that I learn stuff and then teach. Turn around and teach. He says, but I'm writing this stuff that you know how to behave yourself in the house of God, when you're in God's house. Why? Well, it's the church. It's the called out assembly. Calling out of a wicked generation. People called out from their old lives when they were lost to a new creature. A new and a living way. Not the old dead ways. Not returning to the vomit or wallowing in the mire. To that new and better way. That's why I write this stuff to you guys. It's a church. It's the called out assembly of the living God. Not just some undefinable entity out there You know, it's not just some warm, wandering amoeba that goes out through space, not just something that's intangible and ethereal, but something that's as tangible as this pew. Something that's as real as your own mom and dad. He's real. And he's a living God. He ain't dead. He never will die. But I write this to you, the church of the living God, the called out assembly to the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. What's a pillar? Oh, it's just a column, you know, just a thing that sticks and looks nice. No, not just that. A pillar in the old days, you don't see too many in these in the houses these days. A pillar in the old days was something that was set on a firm foundation, okay, that the building rested on. Knock that pillar out and the building would fall. It would cave. Okay? That's what this church is for our life. It's the pillar set on the ground of truth, set in a foundation that does not move. We like singing that song to the kids about the sand and the stuff. And oh, it's okay for the kids. No, it's okay for us too. That when life hits us, we can stand. Our house, our living in God stays upright. And we're not having to rebuild over again. As we are on that pillar, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. That's what this place is. And when we're not here, we miss it. Okay? And when we are here and we don't listen, we miss it. And I'm reminded of Paul's words, or despise you the house of God, that pillar, that church of the living God and the pillar of the ground of truth. Do we despise that stuff? And we say, ah, no, it's just for... Man, those guys are just holy rollers. They're out there 3 days a week. They're even out there some Saturdays. Oh, man, they had breakfast over there yesterday. They went to breakfast. Breakfast was good yesterday, by the way. You missed it. What can I say? Because it really isn't an option. Oh, yes, it is. No, it, you know, steel sharpeneth steel. Iron sharpeneth iron. You don't get grow. You don't grow and get sharper going fishing. I like going fishing. Y'all know that. I have admitted this fault, huh? Okay. Yesterday on the way here, today too, huh? Yesterday on the way here for breakfast, man, there were people in their boats headed out to the lake. Okay. This morning we saw a boat. What was it? A Bass Tracker. It's like, man, oh, that's a pretty boat. Look, honey. Yeah, I know. Look, yeah, I know. My wife says that, yeah, I know. And it's like, go on, whatever. No, look, honey, he's headed to the lake. But we're headed to church. Church is better. It is. And without controversy, he finishes that up. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Isn't that a tremendous thing? Holy moly. I mean, sometimes when you really stop and consider the word of God, you're like Ezekiel on the side of the river. It just drives you to your knees and you go, wow. You're dumbfounded. When was the last time God left you dumbfounded? When you meditated on the things of God, when you actually thought about the church and the spiritual well-being of other people here and as well as the neighborhood. This house across the street has seen some people move in and out over the years. When we first started, the first couple of people used to come up and over talk. They knew that we met here. They knew that this was God's house. They knew it. And yet, when we're not here, it's like, how does that testimony work? How do our neighbors see it? Well, I know they go to church sometimes. Well, let's see, it's not Christmas, so they're going to church today. How do you know? Well, they're all dressed up funny. Yeah, it's not, especially, it's not Easter. Why are they coming to church? Wow. Hang on just a second. Let me tell you. But it's that thing here. Because not only do we put down people like Solomon who wrote the book, we put down other people in church. Oh, this old brother so-and-so just preaching his own thing. You know what that is, right? The three monkeys, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. See no Christianity, hear no Christianity, speak no Christianity. And aren't we supposed to be the loudest proponents? There's a psalm in the Old Testament. Oh, that men would praise God for His wonderful kindness, for His loving kindness, for His magnificent work. Oh, that men would do that. Oh, that even the children of God who say, hey, I'm saved, I love God, and yet we're silent. We are silent on the things of God. We let the government shut us down here a couple of years ago. And there are people that are still allowing that. We had a discussion yesterday at breakfast yesterday. Reading the Bible, studying the Bible, knowing this, being able to quote scripture after scripture, does you no good when you don't come here and share with others what you learned. When you don't come here and tell others about how God's working in your life. Pastor, every Sunday night, he stands up here and says, anybody got a testimony of praise? I want to go on every Sunday night. Yeah, I love my job. Love my wife. You know, love this, love that. People get tired of hearing, oh, you just say it this. No, seriously, true. But I can see people's faces. I'm up here looking out at you guys. He's like, oh, come on. He's got that. Oh, man, he's just. Oh. They're tired of hearing it sometimes. Sometimes we feel it's like we're tired of saying it. Next week we'll try and get into some choice things from we've gone through the first 21 chapters out of 30 some chapters of Proverbs, and we're going to choose some choice verses out of that, and we'll get that started. And my review will continue. I thought this was just going to take a couple of weeks, and it's, I don't know, it's only been just a couple of weeks. I just started. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come and we thank you, Lord, for this day. Father, we thank you for our time here together, Father. Father, I pray that we would be encouraged, that we'd be emboldened, that, Father, we'd be fed from that holy manna that falls from heaven. Father, I pray and ask, Lord, that we could see, things that are not seen. That, Father, we would know things that are not known with the eye or by touch, Father, Lord, but that we would see the spiritual things, the spiritual work that must have to happen here. Father, I pray and ask that you be with services today and your glory be in us. Father, Lord, that your Holy Spirit testify the things that we hear today are true and right. Father, I pray that you'd give Pastor, Lord, the words to speak, the attitude, Father. Give him the truth on his lips that, Father, that he cannot help but speak those things you laid upon his heart, and that, Father, that we would hear. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.